Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Well, it's not the most cheerful time in the digital world, what with new hacks announced almost every day that threaten to put millions of people's economic situation at risk through identity theft, what with the NSA spying on just about everything that anyone in the world does with their telephones, smartphones, computers, or almost anything else electronic, including all the people in this country, despite laws against it. What with corporations compiling profiles on pretty much all of us to better try to sell us anything ranging from books or music or cars or miracle health cures, or to keep from selling us something that we might need, like insurance or bank loans or health care. What with millions of security cameras, license plate readers, and cell phone trackers keeping a record of where we've gone, for how long, and who with? Well, it's easy to forget that there can be a fun side of electronic technology, too. So today, let's start with a couple of websites that, while informative, are also fun. How about a site called How Wrong You Are? The site's name says it all. It's run by a couple of fellows who do it just because. Every week they post a public affairs type of question along with a set of multiple choice answers. The user picks one of the answers and, given the site's sort of educational purpose, if the answer is incorrect, the site tells you and how wrong you were. The user can choose a question like, what percentage of deaths every year is due to air pollution, or how old is the known universe in years, or many others. It's fun, and here at the Electronic Cottage, we've learned a lot. Maybe you will too. The site is at, appropriately enough, howwrongyouare.org. As we can hardly forget, it's election season, and despite the enormous discontent in the country with the way politics is currently being practiced and the single-digit approval rating of Congress, when all the smoke clears after the November election, the vast majority of congressional incumbents will be returned to office. Why? Well, one reason is gerrymandering, named after a Massachusetts governor who, back in 1812, redrew congressional districts in Massachusetts to benefit his party. One of the districts was so distorted that people said it resembled a salamander, hence gerrymander, a combination of the governor's name, Jerry, and salamander. Since in the U.S., congressional districts have to be redrawn every 10 years to reflect changes in census data, the party in power in state legislatures, when the districts are redrawn, has an opportunity to get very creative with what districts look like in order to protect their party's position in power or to keep the other party's supporters in an electoral ghetto. The result? Over 90% of congressional incumbents, despite Congress's dismal approval rating and lack of legislation, will be back in office after the election. This year, some artists have taken to creating caricatures of various animals or objects based upon the shapes of some real whoppers of congressional districts, like the almost ridiculous District 35 in Texas. You can view a half dozen or so of these caricatures at www.facebook.com/designobserver. Scroll down a bit and look for illustrations with the hashtag Spawn of Gerrymander. Very funny, except they're real. Meanwhile, law enforcement folks are everywhere these days on television and radio and in the papers, bemoaning the fact that Apple and Google are encrypting data by default on the new smartphones that they sell, and are not keeping copies of user passwords that will decrypt the information in the phones. To hear soon-to-be ex-Attorney General Holder or current FBI Director James Comey talk about this decision on the part of Apple and Google, you'd be forgiven if you concluded that Western civilization as we know it will decay. The specter implies our world may degenerate into something like the world of Blade Runner if the companies don't change their minds and build backdoors into their software. Police or FBI officers could then continue to get at information on anyone's phone if they feel they need to, after, of course, the officials say, they get a warrant. something that sometimes seems to get forgotten in these digital days. The NSA is staying out of this discussion because, of course, it's because of NSA surveillance in the first place that customers screamed for some protection for their personal information. Apple and Google have responded because, quite simply, that's what the market is calling for. It's no surprise that the bogeymen of child predators and international terrorists have been rolled out anywhere that anyone will listen to any law enforcement person's pronouncements on the subject. The chief of detectives in Chicago, for example, has offered the opinion that, quote, Apple will become the phone of choice for the pedophile, end quote. And FBI Director Comey has said that Apple is allowing people to place themselves, quote, beyond the law, and that, quote, child kidnappers will be able to act with impunity. So, is child kidnapping a rampant problem? Well, as security expert Bruce Schneer points out, quote, it's all bluster. Of the 3,576 major offenses for which warrants were granted for communications interception in 2013, exactly one involved kidnapping. And, more importantly, there's no evidence that encryption hampers criminal investigations in any serious way. In 2013, encryption foiled the police 9 times, up from 4 in 2012, and the investigations proceeded in some other way. End quote. In other words, there is a good possibility that the world will not come to an end if people have a bit of personal privacy, especially since most people back up the stuff on their iPhone or Android phone to the cloud anyway, and the FBI or whoever can still get a warrant to get their hands on it there. We Americans historically seem prone to hand over liberty when government cries that the security sky is falling, as government has been doing in this country for decades now, continually dragging out what Schneer calls the four horsemen of the infocopalypse. Quote, pedophiles, kidnappers, drug dealers, and terrorists, to further erode privacy and liberty. We hear the same story over and over, as we are now again, and we acquiesce. It's a curious habit, and in this digital age, perhaps an even more dangerous one. Maybe Edward Snowden's revelation about the tip of the government's surveillance iceberg have occasioned some reflection on the real costs versus the benefits of giving up privacy and liberty in the hope of obtaining security. We'll continue to do our best to reflect on that question and on many others in the confluence of the digital and physical realm that affect our everyday lives, right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.